From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and this is Delicate Steve. Delicate Steve is the guitar music of Steve Marriott. His new album, This Is Steve, is something rare these days. It's an instrumental rock guitar record. Marion is playing all the instruments on this incredibly fun and sometimes funny record. Steve Marriott has played guitar with Paul Simon, Yesayer, Mac DeMarco, David Byrne, Dirty Projectors, and so many more. But his love is for singers more than guitar players, and it shows in his playing. Steve Marriott's in New York City. He's going to join us in a minute, but let's listen to a bit more of his music. This song is called Animals. Steve Marriott, hi there. What is going on in this song? What is all this stuff? This is Steve.
This is Steve. This is Steve.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. There are a lot of. I made this song and then I named it. I named it Animals, because after I recorded it, I thought all these sounds sounded like a bunch of different animals. Chicken, you know, that lead guitar is kind of a squawking, more of a squawking thing. There's some like frog sounds, I think, in there. And
you're making all of them, right?
I'm making all of them. Not all of them are the guitar, but that lead thing that's playing right now is the guitar. But yeah, I was thinking of, I think there's like a, I don't know why it's in my head, but like, this is the sound a cow makes. Was it like a book or something? I don't even remember, but now I'm realizing.
It was
a
children's toy, I think, is what
yeah.
it was. Yeah, right, with a little dial on it. And
yeah.
At least that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, I don't even remember it, but I feel like that's the influence behind this song.
All the instruments, are you doing the, I assume that's a keyboard, that very beginning.
This song was actually the first thing I recorded for the album, sort of in order as the instruments come in. I did that rhythm guitar first that starts the song off. I just set a tempo on the metronome, and literally the first day I got up to the studio, I just plugged in and went, okay, round down, chicka-down, down.
What are you plugging into? Because it's not just you and that little guitar there.
I did this album in upstate New York at a friend's recording studio called The Outlier Inn. I basically set up around my laptop with a bunch of different instruments surrounding me, guitar into a guitar amp, guitar. Also, a lot of the guitar sounds are just straight into the computer, basses, keyboards. And if I swiveled my stool around 180 degrees, I was in front of a drum kit that was all mic'd up. So I didn't really have to get up except to use the bathroom and make food for myself, which is fun.
So would you lay down rhythm tracks, or would you play a guitar with just a metronome? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I do whatever I could in as quick of an amount of time as possible without getting too precious about anything, because I have a habit of doing that. So this one, I just was like, all right, play the guitar, pick it down, don't, and I was didn't know what I was going to do next. A lot of these songs, I didn't know what I was going to do next on the thing that I was recording in the moment. So
there are 10 songs, about 30-minute record. Did you have the songs at least in mind?
I had nothing. I went in for 11 days to my friend's studio and said, I need to make an album.
Because it's been like 4 years or something, right?
Been a while, but I've been busier than I was when the last two records were coming out, just living in New York and playing guitar and making records and producing and mixing almost every day, doing something. So
you were just on the Paul Simon record was one.
Yeah, I heard the
tick off a few for us.
Yeah, Paul Simon. The last thing I played guitar on, I can't even say, because it was a friend of mine who plays with somebody, and this person was away from the studio for a couple of days, and he was like, "Yo, just get in here. I think they're gonna like it. I can't guarantee, but just try something on this song." And so that I get calls like that. I mean, it's funny. Yeah, it's awesome. I've been busy for pretty consistently working on music, which is great.
You're a huge lover of guitar music, and today on the I'd love to just spend time talking about the guitar music that made you want to just sort of picked that instrument up? Was there one in particular when you were really young that made you say, "Wow, I want to do that"?
I will say this. I don't know how much of a lover of guitar music that I am. I grew up, I guess, liking guitar music. That's obviously how I became a guitar player. But since about 8 years ago, when making this whole Delicate Steve project, I would say it's 80% influenced by singers and how the phrasing of different vocalists than guitar. Like, when I'm thinking about being a guitar player, I'm normally playing the rhythm guitar on a Delicate Steve song. And the lead guitar on a track, I'm thinking about what the singer would do, if that makes sense.
It really does, because there are no words. For those who haven't heard this record, there are no words, but it's a very lyrical record. Let me, let's see if this song does it. Yeah. You're totally singing there.
That, and a lot of people say this song sounds like a certain song when it gets to the chorus, but here I was really obsessed with this Elton John song called Captain Fantastic.
And Brown Dirt Cowboy.
Yeah, Captain Fantastic. That's kind of where that that guitar part came from, as if it was recorded by Jeff Lynne in like the 80s, I guess. But yeah, I'm thinking of singers when I'm doing parts like this. There are a couple times in Delicate Steve songs where I'm thinking like a guitar player, but
well, let's go through a few. Let's go through
sure.
Like that mindset. So I'm going to play this. Otis Redding is somebody I know for you that you think voice more than guitar. He'd be one, right?
I was citing this, that Can't Turn You Loose live recording as just a way that I developed my phrasing. I mean, because he'll just hit one note in different parts over and over again and get into this real circular riffing where a guitar player is thinking about notes and what note I can jump to. But if you're a singer, you might just say, "Hey," you know, and put it somewhere special each time you do it. And that's inspiring my solos more than the fretboard of the guitar.
Let's listen to Otis a minute. Gotta keep up real, can't turn it loose. Gotta keep up holding on, can't turn it loose. Everybody want it, baby, we got it. Everybody want it, baby, we got it. Gotta. Gotta keep a hold, can't turn it loose. Gotta keep a grip, can't turn it loose. Gotta. So.
That's it right there for me. You know, the band is just vamping. No one's trying to show off, and he's just trying to keep the party going. I could listen to this all day.
This from 1966. This is a recording from Whiskey A Go-Go. Otis Redding died way too young. Do you ever think to write words down that you would then sort of interpret guitar? Is that too literal a thing to think and do?
I couldn't do what I wanted to do if I tried to put words into it. Even if it was just to write something out and then turn it into a guitar part, I wouldn't know what to write.
Let's figure out a couple of guitar solos that really gripped you, especially growing up or just learning guitar. When did you pick up the guitar, by the way? How old were you?
I don't remember. I mean, I was just young. Anything past the age of, or before the age of like 13, it's a blur. I played piano. I took piano lessons. I didn't like it. And my grandmother got me like a plastic guitar for a Christmas present. And I would just run around and slide in my room. And then that's how I wanted to learn guitar, just by playing that thing.
When you were 13, what year would that have been?
That would have been 2000.
So you were a kid who heard guitar music in the 90s, but I bet you there were oldie stations and whatever.
Yeah, and I'm like a, you know, Napster kid, downloading everything that I could get my hands on. I was an all music guy. I would go to allmusic.com and, mm-hmm. and find a review of, pick a band, find what their critic's choice was, and then download that album, internalize it, listen to three related albums. So I had a sort of an encyclopedia of the classic rock repertoire from back then. But so I listened to everything growing up, and then also stuff that was current, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I love those guys.
Let's play Soul to Squeeze. How's that? It's not too far from you.
Mm-hmm. Right? And once the slide comes in, I'm like, boy, I'm like, I really, really got a lot from this song. Slide is just so simple, first of all, so lyrical. It's singing less notes than the vocal on this song. Mm-hmm. And it's also frail. I feel like a guitar player could butcher that so easily by, getting everything perfect. And but there's a quality to that that has so much soul, because it doesn't, it's a little flat and it's a little limp, and I like guitar solos like that more than I like guitar solos that are just on 11 for the whole thing. Where I go, I just don't know. Like got to take it slow. When I find my peace of
I love the way that note hangs there.
Mm-hmm. And there's a, for this record, if the backstory on this album is also just an influence on my approach to creating stuff. I mean, this was like a, whatever you want to call them, funk metal band in the late 80s. And then working with Rick Rubin and striving to get to a different place and really not knowing what that is, and creating in the moment. And that record in particular has a lot of spontaneity to it. I'd imagine that they just let the tape roll on that, and John Frusciante's trying slide, even though that's not his forte. The idea of doing that is also something that's inspiring to me, and, reaching for something that you haven't got to yet versus doing something that you're great at already. And I think that making a lot of this music, I'm trying to get to a place that I haven't been yet with a song. And so the recordings of these songs are documents of that process. And if I spend as little time as possible on them, I can listen back to them and go, oh, wow, that's cool. It's exciting. And it still feels fresh and in the moment to me.
For musicians, that listening back to their stuff is really painful. But when it's like, as in a band or in this case, this project, where you haven't overplayed the stuff, you haven't thought it through, you're actually listening to yourself surprise yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And that's what, although that Paul Simon record also has such attention to detail in it, he captured my first take is, I think, the thing that's on on the song that I played on.
Are you on The Werewolf? Is that the one you're...
I am, yeah.
I was going to try to find the spot here on that song.
Life is a lottery. A lot of people lose. And the winners, the grinners with money-colored eyes, eat all the nuggets.
There's a little minute of me in the background. I'm kind of dipping in and out. Werewolf is coming. And I didn't really know how the song went. Werewolf is coming, you know. There I am. It's, yeah.
The werewolf's coming. The werewolf's coming. Yes, the werewolf is coming, Joe.
That's me, yeah. And I basically, I didn't know, I heard the song once, he played it for me once, and then he said it's in D, and you know, there's not a lot of instrumentation on this song, and it's this kind of vocal rap, so it's not very verse, chorus, verse. And I didn't really know what to do in a way, because anything I did would cut in so much. So I just, you know, I'm just sitting there, and he actually muted the vocal on the track, and he sang into my ear next to me the vocal on the song. And it took me about a minute to realize that that's what was actually going on, because his voice sounds perfect. But yeah, I finished the take, and he stopped it and said, okay. That was pretty good. Do you want to do another? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to developing this idea more. And I finished the second take, and he said, okay, that one wasn't as good. And he was right. And we listened back to the first one and sort of combined the first and second takes. And so he got this spontaneous stream of consciousness, undeveloped, striving part out of me versus something that was composed and thought out, and so I think that record has a lot of moments like that, and records like that to me are really fun to listen to and come back to, and that's the music that I end up liking the most.
It's interesting because I think of him as so meticulous and so crafting and so
right.
Working his songs, but the key to crafting and doing all that stuff is having the ear to know when to be spontaneous or to...
It's almost like he, at any moment, he's in this fork in the road where he can go one way and be and just follow his whimsical creative side, or be as sharp and focused as he wants to be with intention. And I haven't worked with anybody that has had as high levels of both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'll play something else from your record. This is Cartoon Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. On so many ways that guitar riff starts off, it's so cliche, but it's got so much bounce and fun to it, and it kind of is making fun of the form, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I so basically, where do I begin here? The idea of cartoon rock, I mean, when anybody would ask what kind of music is Delicate Steve, and I was around my friend Jeremy, who played drums in the band for the past couple of years, he would just say it's cartoon music, just because it's a good answer, and it gets people asking what does that even mean, and then they listen to the band. So then I thought, what would cartoon rock be? And there's this one ZZ Top song called "Got Me Under Pressure" that just has these every part is just big and kind of goofy and larger than life, and I got a kick out of that. And so that was kind of the blueprint of that song, was basically I sat down behind the drum kit and wanted to make a song with that same drum beat and tempo, which is basically just sort of a four on the floor thing. And then from there, how to get those guitars to feel really larger than life and animated. Here she is.
This is ZZ Top from easily 30 years ago.
Uh-huh. Copping some blues riff that's easily 30 years older than that. If you hear that guitar, it's just straight up old blues, but, you know, modernized at the time.
Do you plan on playing this stuff out and about?
Yeah. Just getting ready for a tour.
You got a band?
Got a band. February, March, we'll be on tour. March, April, also all over the States playing Bowery Ballroom. Getting excited.
What do you bring rig-wise? Because there are a lot of geeks who like guitars. What do you do? You got a lot of sounds going on here.
I got a lot of sounds. I got kind of a dorky thing now going on.
Oh,
and like... well, I got one of these, you know, rigs that like Edge probably uses or something. Like,
so it's a 200-pound pedal board.
Exactly. It's like I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm like, how do I switch between these sounds, you know, rather than spending clicking five pedals on and then another five on for one other part. I got this sort of like matrix contraption that can shuffle between all of them. Now I'm going to make a record where I don't need that because it's okay. It's a monster. I'm like, I don't want to, you know, but I also like just making music and I use the studio to write songs, and using the studio as the tool from which I make music, and then using that as the blueprint and going, how am I going to do this live? And then that informs, you know, what kind of gear I use. So I'm not going into the studio going like, I sound like this. This is my thing. I come out of the studio and go, how the heck do I do this live now?
I always love, when I make music, to like find a sound and then find a song within that sound. And that sort of sounds a little like what you're doing.
Yeah, that's how I feel like all of these songs come about. You know, even if it's not a very specific sound, or if I'm just sitting down at the piano and I keep playing it until these chords feel good in the moment in the room, and then I record that, and then how does that make me feel, and I layer on top of it until I get a song that feels like a cohesive thing.
Like this?
Exactly. You're good. I was like, these guys are reading my mind. This is my the climax of the record is the song before this. This is my, like, the show's over, lights are on, it's SNL, you know, the guest is thanking Lorne and the cast and, you know, Coldplay. Great show tonight. And this is in a way also maybe the most sensitive, soulful part of the album that isn't hiding behind, you know, a funny name or funny sounds, and it's just me playing. But I like to balance that with this band because I really believe in all the stuff I'm recording, and I'm so invested in it, and it's a part of me. But I always shy away from going completely in that direction and calling the song, you know, Sunday Morning. You know,
This one's simply called This Is Steve, which is the same as the...
Yeah.
It's the title track.
All of these other explosive, wild, wacky songs. And then, you know, this is the one that's just sort of a little gospel waltz. And I'm like, this is the song I'm going to call This Is Steve, because in a way it's the least hyped up song.
Let's listen to the last minute here. Thank you.
guitar right there was the last thing I recorded on the album. I actually got scared. I was like, maybe this song is too emotional. So I'm going to put this little bit of a bright texture on the end that sort of brings it up. But I'm happy I did, because I like how that the juxtaposition of those flavors there.
Mm. You're doing the piano?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There she is.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, I really love it. I'm going to play, just something. We talked about classic rock before, but didn't. I want to play this song.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. The guitar that comes up in the clear and a little bit in the song is such a... I could see why you love this. It's mm-hmm. It's got the lyrical thing going on. It's got a sound that's unique. There's a sound you never heard much before this song. Is it wah-wah? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, it's just like a wah, some clean guitar. It's also not...
distorted.
It's not like a guy coming in. I mean, this is such a beautiful song that I wouldn't like it at all, probably, if it was this overstated, heavy-handed guitar moment.
Yeah, it's still part of the groove.
Yeah. So it's playful. Yeah, so good.
Are the guitarists these days, who you're a huge fan of, we're playing fairly stuff that goes back.
I will say, like, as far as guitar rock music is concerned, there hasn't been a lot over the years that has really excited me. But I love the guitar on D'Angelo's last record,
mm-hmm.
Which is now like 3 years old, but and the last Alabama Shakes album,
mm-hmm.
I loved that record, and I admittedly, like, I didn't get into that band when it first came out. Couldn't find what it was that made it special, which is also one of my favorite things in music, where if it's something that I'm not a fan of, and then a band or an artist comes out with something that blows my mind. And I put the record on, actually, on the NPR First Listen when it came out. I said, all right, I'll give this a shot. And I knew it was produced by Blake Mills, who I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of his work as a producer and guitar player. And I put the first track on, and then I let the whole record play. And that record's got a lot of really great guitar work on it.
Mm-hmm. Something like this?
Yeah, I mean, beautifully recorded. This is very classic in a way. It's not trying to reinvent the wheel, but it's just so well done that to my ears, it's really exciting to listen to, because there isn't a lot of stuff that I hear like this that has all these qualities. It's also like the sound that's coming off here is big and poppy, which is a sound that I like. It's trying to be accessible.
And the interplay, right? I mean,
yeah, just it's musical and cool. And this also feels, and if I had to like imagine the creation of this record in some way, it was similar to, this is again my imagination, but the Chili Peppers going in for Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and they, you know, Alabama Shakes were this band, but in the process of making this record, I feel like they went deeper and sort of uncovered this layer that they didn't really know was there, and the record is more of a document of that process than a display of what they're already good at.
And that often happens to bands when they get to play out a lot. And the cycle of recording, touring, going back and making a new record, if they've done that touring thing, I mean, as a band, they really uncover who they are. Because that's hard to do in a studio when you don't have the chops of having played out, especially guitar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Guitar is a tricky instrument. I almost never pay attention to the guitar player in a band live. It's got to take something really special for me to even notice it. Otherwise, it's sort of like music in a bar or cafe or something that is sort of just chill. When it's that kind of music, it's like it's not even there to me. Most times when I see a guitar, I mean, it's really got to take something special.
I sometimes think that, in fact, Robin Hilton and I have had this conversation, mm-hmm. which is I feel like the guitar solo is dead, and then I hear your music, and, well, it's not quite solo, although it's alone, but the idea of expressing yourself through a solo, maybe it happens in ways that don't excite me as much.
I mean I think we're at a point now, when I think back to, like, rap, and when Aerosmith and Run DMC did Walk This Way, mm-hmm. and the biggest thing at the time was Aerosmith and rock, and they had to sort of introduce Run DMC into more of the mainstream culture. And I recently saw Run the Jewels and Kurt Vile play at a festival, and back to back, it was Kurt Vile first and Run mm-hmm. the Jewels, and both were great. But I think we're at the flip side to whatever that era was with Aerosmith and Run DMC, where now rap is more mainstream than rock is, and it would take one of the more popular hip-hop or rap artists to reintroduce guitar and make guitar cool again, which could happen. But I also agree with you. I mean, the idea of really expressing yourself with a guitar solo, I mean, I think it's mostly lame unless you're doing something really cool, which doesn't happen a lot.
Thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
I look forward to you coming to town, maybe coming at my desk and figuring out how to do it there.
Yeah, I think it's happening March sometime, early March.
You bet. I'll see you soon.
For sure.
All right.
Have a good one.
Cheers. That's Delicate Steve. His new album is called This Is Steve. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered. Mm-hmm.